Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Hello, Katie.
Hello, Monica. Welcome to another week. I feel like I say that every week. I probably do. What is your joy this week? It's probably going to be the same as mine, so go.
It's going to be the same as yours?
I think so. Well, we'll see. Maybe not.
Oh, yes. I was like, wait, why? Well, we have a new baby in the family.
We do.
He's actually named after someone who's very near and dear to our family. And when our sibling told this individual, he cried.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he cried. And he's the godfather. So it's this like really beautiful. I don't know. To me, maybe that's my joy. This connection between this very dear family friend who we love very, very much. And kind of this like nod to him. That's my joy.
So to give some context, this is totally my joy of the week too. To give some context, we joke in our family that we have B siblings. My parents have B children, and those are usually like best friends or really good friends of their own children. And so this, his name is Father Hank. Father Hank is one of our Bs for sure. And he has just become such a part of the family. He went to deer camp with our brothers this year and all of our cousins, and he's just such a part of the family, and he lives very close to this brother of ours who they just had their third. And so they named him Henry, and then the baby was actually born on the day that Pope Leo was chosen. And so his name is Henry Leo, which is very cool. But the thing that I think is even cooler with this whole thing is Father Hank is what we call him, but his real name is Henry, obviously. And his last name is Lion, and Leo means lion. So literally we absolutely named but my brother and his wife named this baby after this beloved friend of the family.
Yeah, we were all texting him being like, if the baby comes today, you have to name him Leo. Like, the Pope was just named, ba-da-da. And at 11:59, we got a text message that said, Abemos baby.
Exactly.
We have a baby.
Like, wait, really? So exciting.
Oh my gosh. So it was really kind of just in the nick of time there. But yeah, that's definitely our joy for the week. He's a cute little squish.
Yeah.
He's got such a pudgy nose. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's just, he's a squish. So anyways, everyone's healthy and safe, which is the most important part. So
exactly.
Exhausted,
but here, and it's really funny. I FaceTimed with their oldest, who is three, and I was like, Bernadette, are you so excited? And she's like, I'm going to the hospital. And I was like, oh yeah. And she's like, yeah, because I have a new baby. I have a new baby. Oh, okay, Bernadette.
Oh, here we go.
Exactly.
Here we go.
I FaceTimed with her this morning after she'd already seen the baby, and she was like, oh, the baby in the hospital is so cute. Awesome. I was like, oh my gosh.
This amazing. Giant man. She's hilarious.
Yeah. She's awesome. She's a pill. She's awesome though.
So we're picking up from, gosh, like what, two or three episodes ago. We had two episodes on the Pope. Those were kind of different special.
In between. No, we did Pope, Pivot, Pope.
Okay. So no, what's your pivot? What's your pivot homework?
Yeah. Okay. So the pivot homework we were to do is to either like start something or whatever. So a friend of mine and I are thinking about starting a business. It would be my second, her first. And so I last Saturday went on a long walk and walked all the way over to the property we're thinking of leasing for this business. And took a look at it and walked all around it. I'm sure I looked like a real creepy person because I was like creeping in all the windows. I mean, it's totally empty. But anyway, so starting to make moves in that, starting to look up, you know, what it would cost, how we would do this, what, you know, what this would all mean, comparing costs to other places and things like that. So
I love it.
Making moves, making steps.
Wow. Good for you. In the spirit of being totally real with our listeners and authentic, I didn't do the homework. Didn't even cross my mind. I feel like that the season of life I'm in is like not survival, a little bit of just like One day at a time. We're going to keep it going. Here we are. So I haven't thought too much. I know that, you know, there might be some career pivots for me, but also I think sometimes I think before making the choice to pivot for me and my personality type, and we could do a whole episode on personality types, but I actually need to slow down and think for a long time, because my personality is shoot first, look second. And I don't mind burning bridges. And I don't mind making waves, and I don't mind. And so maybe that's my pivot. My pivot is slowing down, actually. And
pivoting. It is. This is also making me think too. We should have someone on to talk about cycle syncing. But they also say that there's certain times in your cycle that you should not make decisions and not make pivots.
That's fair.
Because of the way the hormones are, your hormones are like, do it, do it. And like, once things like level out, your rational side comes back in and is like, do not do this. Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I am very much like that. And I will get this idea and I'll be like, yes. And I'll like just start it. So I have had to force myself to wait a month on an idea that I have to be able to get through a full cycle to see, okay, do I still like this a full month later? Or am I like, no, that was kind of a dumb idea. Because I can start things really fast because I get excited. And then I'm like, meh, later.
Never mind.
Exactly.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Very cool.
So today actually is kind of inspired by Monica yesterday. She went out. Her birthday is actually May 13th. So you'll be listening to this a little bit after her birthday. But she went out to celebrate her birthday. And fill us in, Monica.
Yeah, I went out with some friends. So I think for context, the vast majority of my friends, I do have a good number of friends, but the vast majority of them right now are in this season of life where they're new moms. Mm-hmm. When I say new moms, I'm like, they're fresh. Like, yeah. They all had babies. Most of them all had babies this year. And so there's been a season, I really hate using that word, a season of like kind of a friendship drought for me. And it's like, I had made this new friend who randomly texted me like last minute on a Friday being like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, nothing. And it's like, great, let's go out. And then they made fun of me for not having Friday night plans. And I was like, listen here, okay? All my friends are putting their babies down. Like, this is why I'm not a loser. I just have, I'm in a drought right now, a friendship drought. And I, obviously there's a heaviness and a pain in that for me that I have very deep friendships and I love them all very, very much. Mm-hmm. And the friendship looks different now than it has before. And that's difficult to always adjust, right? What a friendship looks like. There's zero anger for me, zero anger or animosity. And I know that's probably not true for everybody, but for me, it's like, I understand that they're not as available, nor should they be. I know that the type of friends I have, if I called them and said, I need you, they'd show up. I have the type of friends who show up and show out. Like, they do it.
They'd be there with a crying baby, but they'd be there.
They'd be like, I've got this. It's okay. You know, but that doesn't change that there's a dryness. And I actually think a lot of single women, both vocationally and situationally, go through this likely in their late 20s or early 30s when everyone starts having babies for the first time. And it's easy to feel... I guess what I feel is, and I said this to my therapist the other day, like, I feel left behind.
Yeah.
Like, everyone went out to recess and I had to stay in.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, for those vocationally single, it feels a little less like being left behind because you know that's never going to be your future, right? That's not part of God's plan for you, etc. But it does give a certain kind of, like, friendship desert vibe because suddenly you're like, okay, well, before we could go out and grab coffee, you know, on a random Tuesday morning. And now it takes a lot of planning and a lot of prep and a lot of bags for them to get there, right? Like out of the car or whatever. So I think you don't feel necessarily being left behind. But for me, I felt very much that I wasn't, like that I couldn't relate as much anymore. But there were many things that I just couldn't relate to because I can't relate to, I don't know, the diaper blowout right before you're walking out the door. And that's why you're 20 minutes late. Like, I'm like, okay, if I'm late, it's because I messed up and I like didn't plan enough ahead or whatever.
It's true. And I will say, like, my group messages, like in these different friend groups, have all turned into baby
Sure. It's baby or mom stuff, right? Of like mom struggling in this way, or like this happened with baby, and it is really beautiful. What I will say is that like, I love my friends so much, and all of them, I've been in their lives before this guy came into their life, during marriage. And then it's really beautiful to watch your friends become. And in this growth process, there's something really beautiful about that. But it shifts, right? Now it's like, oh, I don't have as much to contribute to the group some days. Or there's just a conversation that I'm not a part of. Not that you're like left out, but it's just I don't have that lived experience. So, you know, it shifts the dynamic. And part of it is, okay, as a single person, like how do I manage and navigate that new dynamic? Right? And how do I do that well without, you know, I know some friends who, some single friends, I wouldn't really call them friends. I know single women who speak about this and who are like resentful towards their friends. They're like, you left me. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if we should be resentful. Like, I understand the pain in feeling left behind or in someone having something that you want or just feeling like everyone's life is moving on but yours. I hear that. But we have to be really careful not to grow resentful of people or of our friends who are in different stages of life.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's just the natural progression of friendship in general. Even if you were both single, there's going to be certain seasons in which your friend needs you a little bit more than you need your friend, right? Yeah. For whatever reason, right? They're going through something difficult. They're going through this trying period. And that's a little bit the beauty, I think, of being single when a lot of your friends are no longer in that stage for themselves, because you can very easily go visit them then, right? You can say like, listen, don't pack the baby up. Totally fine. Let me know where to meet you and I can come to you, because you have a little bit more of that flexibility, right? Yeah. And you can kind of be that friend, or you can notice a little bit more. And then, you know, like, I would say I'm friends with a lot of the people that I employ, obviously, you know, and like one of them is in this really rough spot right now. She's got a little one. She took on a lot more responsibilities, etc. And I was trying to go, hey, like as a boss, but also as a friend, like, how do I help her? Right? Like, how do I help? And so I just sent her like a $100 DoorDash gift card. And I'm like, listen, so that you don't have to think about meals for a couple nights.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my gosh, like this was, thank you so much. And I'm like, yeah, like we can do things like that, because we can be thinking that way, because the other friends cannot be right now, because they're in the midst, right, of the whole thing.
Well, and also realizing, I think one of the things that was so helpful for me is that sometimes, like, yeah, I struggled. I mean, like they were all having babies at the same time. And I was like, I hate my life. And I'm going to be totally honest. Like, I silenced the group messages because I was like, I need to be intentional with when I read and see these things, just because of where my heart's at now. And I want to be a good friend. So I just have to choose when I tune in right now, just today or whatever. Sure. And that, you know, so sometimes you got to do what you got to do, right? Yeah, to be as present as possible and the type of friend you want to be, instead of just pretending like everything's fine or whatever. But one of the things I think that actually helped get me out of that funk a little bit was like, I was going through it for sure. And one of my friends recently was like, I'm so sorry I wasn't there. And I was like, you just had a baby. Like, and that was one of the things I realized was, oh, we're all going through it. Mm-hmm. We're all crying by the end of the day. Like, it's a hard day. Like, they're crying because their baby is like screaming. I'm going through my own thing. But that like, we can easily fall into this like, woe is me. Mm-hmm. And what happens in that mindset is that we lose perspective of the other person in our life, and we can become resentful because we're so self-focused. And when I started to think about like, my friends are going through it and they need me. Yes, I need them, but they need me. And I could think about them a little bit more, or like their struggles or how to show up for them.
Right.
My experiences and what I was going through felt a little lighter. Right. Yeah. It felt a little easier. It doesn't mean that I wasn't going through it or having a hard time or whatever, but that like when I thought about myself a little less and I thought about others more and realized like they're also struggling right now, it helped me not feel so alone.
Right. Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's that's friendship, right? Like, that's when we give of ourselves to others, we also tend to feel accompanied and loved and cared for. Mm-hmm. And when we are so me focus, we tend to be like, no one cares, no one loves me, right? So, you know, if we're in this stage and we can pour ourselves into these friends of ours who, you know, are in the midst of new baby dumb and all of that, right? Like, we will end up feeling more fulfilled too. We're going to feel how grateful our friend is. We're going to be able to know, like, oh, like, I was able to be there for her and be a listening ear, or be someone who could watch her baby so she could take a nap, or whatever it is, right? And that's, yeah, it's frustrating, and it's definitely can be challenging, but it's worth it for sure.
I think the other thing I realized kind of in this reflective place of, like, I feel like it's like such a dry season with friendship. It's like, well, are you asking? And this kind of goes back, like, I knew if I reached out, they'd respond. Like, if I needed them, but sometimes we can fall into this, like, they should know. They should know, and they should care. And if they cared, then they would be reading my mind, anticipating my needs, and showing up without me asking. And it's like, okay, that is so unrealistic and super unhealthy. Yeah. And sometimes you just have to say, hey, I need girls' time.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I like, can we talk? Like, I miss you.
Yeah.
Right? And realizing too, particularly in this conversation with, she had two conversations with very close friends recently who just had babies. And in the conversation, I realized, like, they're going through it so much. Like, they're also in a season of friend dryness.
Yeah, because their whole life is the baby.
Whole life is a baby. And they're like, I miss you. And like, I'm like, we haven't talked and I'm so sad. And I'm like, oh, me too. Okay. Look, we're all on the same page, yeah. Just different. Like, it's the same thing. It just looks a little different. Like, and you know, I think that when you can look for the common ground and think about yourself a little less, like, if everyone's operating that way, we're all loving and serving each other. And that's something very beautiful.
I think this also goes to the point that, like, friendship takes work. And I think sometimes we think it should just always be easy. And yeah, there are definitely seasons or times when, like, it just feels easy, right? Like, things flow. You guys are hanging out a lot. Like, it seems pretty effortless. But then there are other times that it takes serious work. And I, you know, I was reflecting back on times that I feel like I've had these friendship deserts, or like been walking through a friendship desert. And I think for me, I moved a lot in my early years of new Marinas. That's not a real word, but you know what I mean? I moved a lot. I moved every 2 years for like 10 years. And every time I'd move, I felt like I was in a friendship desert again, because I'd like, I know no one here again. And I'm starting all over trying to make friends and that. And I, you know, if I had to do it over, I would have worked harder to keep cultivating the friendships that I'd made in the previous city that I lived in. And it's not that I cut ties, but it was just like, well, I'm no longer there. So I can't go out to dinner with them, or I can't grab a drink, or I can't get coffee. And so I was like, okay, I got to pour myself now into this new city. And then I would make a couple friends there. And then I would move 2 years later. And then I was back to desert land, you know? And I think that can also happen to us. It might not be babies that are happening, but maybe it's a move. Maybe you have a lot of work friends and then you take a different job. Or, you know, there can be a lot of different kind of moments in which we are experiencing this. Right. And to remember, it takes work to really make a friendship.
Well, any relationship. And right. Relationship with God, relationship with my vocation, relationship with my spouse, relationship with my friends, relationship takes work. And I actually think what I kind of came to this realization of in my dating experiences, is that, and I wonder if this too is true of vocation, when you find your vocation, and it's okay, you can speak to this, but it should feel easy, but it's not effortless. It's easy, but not effortless. Like, this, the effort feels right and rewarding and good, and it doesn't feel like a burden, but you're still putting an effort. It's going to require effort. It's going to require you showing up. But when you are in love, the effort feels easy.
Right. Like, you want to put the effort in. I think that's true for, like, everything in work. I mean, everything in life. I was thinking, like, even with work, too. Like, I love the business that I have. And it, in that sense, it's easy. Like, it's really easy in that, like, I like getting up on Monday mornings, right? Which most people don't.
but it takes a whole hell of a lot of effort to keep this business running and figure out how to do it and, you know, and like all of that. So, yeah, I think it's true for relationships and all of life.
So I think being single, there's an opportunity for maybe like loneliness to be more acute. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean, I know many married couples who are lonely, and I actually think that's a much deeper loneliness because you're supposed to be so seen and known by this person and you're not. And so that's something unto itself. It's not that married people don't experience loneliness. What I do think though is that single people, there is like a center stage. And one of the things that I've struggled with, and Katie, I wonder if you've gotten this as a vocationally single person, because it's like you have your path. I think people look at me and think because I don't have a spouse, I don't have mine. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes, and I know it's coming from a really loving place, so I don't get too turned up about it, but I like meet the babies or I'm at a shower or, and there's always moms who pity me. Like, your time will come. Like, this will be yours soon. And like, don't worry. Ba-da-da-da-da. And I know it's coming from a good place, but it like makes it worse. It makes it worse when everyone talks about, you know, it's like, oh, I'm having a hard time. And someone's like, well, if you were just in a relationship, this would be so much easier. And I'm like, yeah, thanks.
As if I'm not trying for that or whatever. Yeah, you know, it's funny. For me, I think what's often funny. Actually, I was just thinking this the other day. I was somewhere, it's like getting my hair cut or I don't know. I don't remember. Something like that, right? Where you're like just working with a person who you don't know. You've never met before, right? They don't know your life story. You don't know theirs, the whole deal. And the classic question, and I find it's interesting at my age, the classic question is less, are you married, and more, do you have kids? Which I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because probably a lot of people my age have kids and are divorced already.
Yeah.
And so I often get asked if I have kids. And so if I don't know the person at all, I'm not going through the whole backstory of like, well, actually, like I have this celibate vocation and blah, 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 right? So I'm always like, no, no kids for me. And some people will then say, oh, do you ever want to have kids? But other people will be like, oh, that's really smart. Oh, trust me, they're not worth it, or something like that. And I'm always like, okay, that's like making the assumption, especially like, oh, they're not worth it. Makes the assumption that like, I don't really want them.
Yeah, but somehow I'm single and didn't work.
Not right. Anyway, we could do a whole episode. I think we will do a whole episode on like motherhood and the call of life and all that kind of stuff for the single. But anyway, it's that's a little tangent from our friendship discussion. But
no, it's true. Well, but I think my point there is that if you're feeling this kind of friendship drought, it almost feels like your singleness is like spotlighted, right? Where it's like, you don't have anybody. And now you don't have your friends and everyone's going to talk about it. And you're like, thank you so much. Like, you know, we're like, yeah, that's great. And but so
I think, you know, I also have realized a lot of people feel like they're in this friendship drought.
Yeah.
And they just do nothing about it. And so there's probably people who are friends with one another who both feel like they're in this friendship drought.
Well,
but
no one says anything. That was literally last night getting drinks with a friend when she was like, I miss you. And I was like, oh, it's not just me. This missing of this person is not one sided. Like, thank you.
I was having dinner with a friend the other day who's been out of town for several months taking care of a lot of family issues and family needs and stuff like that. And so she's like been gone. And when she was gone a couple of times, I would like send a couple of messages being like, hey, like I miss you, like whatever. When are you coming back into town? And like nothing was reciprocated in that sense. And so I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'll just like, I'm probably not going to do that again. It's not really like me to be like, I miss
That's
you.
Not like you.
I did miss her and I knew it would be something, I assumed it would be something that she, anyway, so she came back into town and we were talking and her life has just been a disaster for these last 3 months, just taking care of all these family issues that she's got going on and things that she's happening. And I was like, oh, she probably really needed those messages, but couldn't reciprocate at the time because she was like deep in the depths of this family drama. Right. And so I was, you know, it's making me think of this kind of thing too. Like sometimes you just need to reach out and like, maybe they're not able to reciprocate in the moment, but maybe they will. right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like you're thinking of this person. You're like, oh, I should get coffee with them. Send the message. You know, yeah. I was so excited. Actually, I have this friend here in St. Louis who I have not seen in like a year. And every time we try to get together, like doesn't happen and all this kind of stuff. And I'm usually the person to start the conversation like, let's get together. And so I was like, that's it. I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm not starting this conversation again because we just never meet. And this week she sent me a message that just said coffee ? And I was like, yes. Yeah. And we're getting coffee on Wednesday. And I think, you got to sometimes take that leap and just be like, hey, coffee, or hey, I miss you. Like, what can we do? How can we connect?
Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked about this before, but I also have a friend who lives in Colorado who I don't see. And we do Zoom happy hours.
That's good.
She'll get a beer. I'll get a beer. And we'll just like catch up.
I love that.
So, yeah, there's lots of ways you can get yourself out of that desert if you really, you know, want to try or work at that.
Yeah. Well, and I think, we can do a whole episode on suffering. I feel like every episode we say, we'll do an episode on this. But suffering, one of the reasons why it's so painful is because oftentimes we feel so alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually, they did this really interesting research of women who are giving birth mm-hmm. and their pain tolerances and how simply holding their spouse's hand lowers their pain, the pain that they're in.
Yeah. Increases their threshold for pain.
Yeah. Thank you. And so it's like, I just don't want to be alone.
Right.
I just cannot be alone in my suffering. And my suffering is easier when I'm with someone. And so sometimes things can be solved, not solved, but things can be
improved.
Pain can be alleviated
mm-hmm.
when we just have the courage to say, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
I'm sad. I miss you. I'm lonely. I need. And mm-hmm. we hold ourselves back from that so much because I think there's a lot of fears, right? But mm-hmm. what if it's not reciprocated? What if they don't care? What if it's dismissed? What if I'm ridiculous? They should know. All of these kind of lies we tell ourselves. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, a big part of this is just you don't have to do it alone. And if you have these friends and you're feeling right. alone, you just need to tell them.
Right. Yeah. And I think even for older friendships that maybe you've let lapse, but you're like, oh, I just really love this person. Or like, oh, I would really love to reconnect. Like, just do it. You know, I had a roommate in college who we were really close in college, pretty close, like right after college, but I moved to New York. She stayed in Milwaukee. We kind of lost touch a little bit, you know, like Facebook friends. So we just like saw each other's like random life updates or whatnot. Anyway, a couple of years back, she like reached out. We text a little bit and she's like, I use this thing called Marco Polo, which is like video, you know, video messaging basically. And she's like, that's the only way. She's like, I just set it up in the car and I just talk at it to send messages to people. And my first legit, sorry, Maria, if you listen to this, my first response was, oh, hell no. Like, I don't have time for that shit. Like, no, I'm not watching a video of you driving while you talk to me about stuff. But anyway, I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. So we did it. We do it. And like, we're not super great about it, but every couple months we'll send like a quick polo back and forth to each other on updates and whatnot. And then just yesterday, she sent me a picture of her oldest daughter making her first communion. And I was like, you know, our friendships also, they don't need to be an every week I see you in order to be really deep and profound, right? Like, we have really good conversations when we do get together, when I end up being in Milwaukee. And in the meantime, we send Marco Polos of us driving in the car, talking, yeah. not even looking at the camera since we're watching the road, that kind of a thing. So, you know, there are lots of ways to make friendship work without, I don't know, crazy effort or a crazy amount of time either, you know, because a lot of people don't have time these days. And I think that's why they're often lonely or they feel like they don't have friends because, like, I don't have time to cultivate friendships, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because our life
Time is a very limited resource. And especially if you have friends who are married with kids, like, they don't have much of that to right. give. So what's going to take the hit? The friendships. As they should. As right. they should. Like, their spouse and their children should come before you.
Right.
And absolutely. That is a difficult adjustment, but a necessary adjustment. And so, you know, it's kind of the game changes a little bit from mm-hmm. quantity to quality.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we've only got 30 minutes to have a phone call. Let's make it a great one. Right.
Right.
Let's just, you know, pour into each other when we have the opportunity. And part of it is, can I learn to be okay with that, right? Can I learn to be okay with the fact that friendships are not always going to look the same in different seasons of life?
Yeah.
And that that's okay.
Well, and I think especially if we're talking about, you know, friends who recently married or having kids and you're feeling left behind, I think also reaching out to them and finding ways that you can be with them but make their lives easier. So I have a friend who I know she goes for a 30-minute walk every day, but she's got like a brand new baby. She's got a bunch of other kids. And so I messaged her and we'd been trying to get together for a while and like couldn't find time on her schedule, couldn't figure out. And finally I was like, hey, like, let me know when you go for that walk, what time. And like, I will just walk with you.
I love that.
And we met at a park that she often walks with the kids. And we, you know, the kids were running all around us. She's pushing the stroller and the two of us just walked together. And I was like, we probably would not have been able to see each other for months and months and months if I wasn't just like, let me do that. Right. Or another friend, I was like, hey, let me just come to you. Like, I'll just come to you. I don't care what your house looks like. Don't, please don't clean up. Right. Like, I'll just come. I'll bring some coffee and we can just talk while your kids are at home in the backyard or whatever, right? Like sometimes you need to do that for that certain season when they're a little more landlocked.
It's kind of being creative. That reminds me, like I had a friend text me the other day being like, want to run errands with me? I'm at Old Navy. And I was like, yeah, I'll go. That's great. We just walked around a store together. Like, you know, I think that a little bit of this is perspective taking and that, I mean, maybe. I don't want to discount the fact that some people maybe don't have as deep of friendships as maybe what I have experienced. So maybe they do reach out and they are left unread. Mm-hmm. And maybe they do have friends who are like, yeah, I can see you July 12th. And you're like, I'm sorry. It's April. It's May.
I have that friend.
And that's hard to be like, mm-hmm. I don't. Even when I do reach out, right? Because I can imagine people are listening to this being like, Katie, Monica, like I do reach out. I do say I'm lonely. I do say these things and it's not reciprocated. And I think that the only thing really in our control there is like how I choose to interpret that. And mm-hmm. I can choose to look at that and say, I'm unloved. Nobody cares. I'm alone. Or I can choose different perspectives. And so, you know, part of it is how we choose to see the situation and the mindset we allow ourselves to sit in those spaces.
Right. And I think sometimes giving the other person a little bit of grace too. So I think we've talked about this in another episode, but I have a friend who here in St. Louis, who I've lived here now 4.5 years. We spent 2 years of me being here that I never saw her. Like I saw her the first year I was here a lot, like vacationed with her family, and then didn't see her for 2 years, like a year, like, oh, yeah, almost 2 years. And I'm like, and it wasn't for lack of trying on my part, right? Like, and I'm like, what the heck? When we finally got back together and like they actually went out for breakfast and caught up and stuff like that, I was like, oh, this is why. Like life had just taken a turn for her and she was dealing with lots of health issues. She was dealing with all these different things, you know, like, and so she just was surviving. She was just in full survival mode, right? And of course. And since then we've seen each other a lot more. We message a lot more. Like we're trying to just be a little bit more active, even if we don't see each other face to face that way. Mm-hmm. She sends me Snapchats almost every day of her dog, you know, whatever it takes to build the friendship. And I think, you know, sometimes that happens and you have to realize like people are in certain seasons that they just can't. Right. And then you do get left unread and that's just life.
Yeah. And it likely isn't about you.
No.
It's like very rarely. And so, again, that's kind of perspective taking there. And so, I don't know, maybe the takeaway today is to think about if you are in a season of drought with your friends or you're feeling lonely or kind of left behind or whatever that is, to think about, well, what are ways I can push myself to connect or what are ways I can shift my mindset a little bit, maybe a perspective I held that needs to be challenged a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I think that can be a great way to do it. It's just thinking through, you know, look at your different friendships, maybe ones that have kind of, yeah, fallen into this drought or this desert mode and think like, hey, can I just reach out? And maybe it's just a simple message saying, like you said, I miss you, or coffee when you have a chance to breathe, or let's go for a walk in the park. The weather's actually going to be nice this week. You know, something simple like that. And just to work to make that reconnection again. And then, you know, as I was sharing with some of these examples, I think also you have to find the mode of communication that works best for the friendship. And they're all going to look different. You know, like I only Marco Polo with one friend. The only reason I have the app on my phone is for this one friend.
I love that.
but it's the only way. And I'm like, okay, if that's the way to stay friends with her, cool. I will Marco Polo.
Yeah.
It's a really weird app, by the way.
That's okay. But it works.
Yeah, exactly. So, love it. Okay, so that's your homework. Do it. Have fun this week. Enjoy it. And yeah, rekindle some of those friendships. That's it this week on Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on your journey, remember that God is with you, and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, which we hope you are, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Find us on social media at Single Not Stalled. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.